Thank you, Lord, this morning, this gathering together, Lord, that we can worship and praise and glorify your name. You are worthy. Lord, we pray for your hand upon us today and pray for the anointing upon the preaching of the word. Pray, Lord, that you would bless your word as it ministers to our hearts this morning and the very needs that we have. Lord, we trust all of that to you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your care and that you have so abundantly provided salvation to us, Lord, through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're so grateful for that. So we look to you this morning. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Welcome and a greeting to all of you in the name of Jesus this morning. Good to see all of you this morning. It's good to be here this morning. Hear the word. The word of God is like soap and water. It washes us, cleans us. We need that physically on a pretty regular basis. Don't think you would have wanted me here this morning. A couple days last week were really warm, and I would have been quite smelly by now. I was quite smelly by the end of the day. We needed soap and water to clean up. And so it is. So it is for all of us. The washing of the water by the word. Praise the Lord for that. So it's good to be here this morning. Write the title here on the board. I don't know what goes through your mind when you think about God's faithfulness, but I pondered a bit of that in my own life and where I would be if it was not for that, for God's faithfulness. And I have to think about that for you all as well. I wonder, where would you be if it wasn't for God's faithfulness? In fact, as we think about faithfulness and what it is, faithfulness is when there's steadfastness. Faithfulness is firmness, not wishy-washy. Faithfulness is fidelity. And fidelity is being faithful to a person, a cause, or belief, demonstrated by continuing loyalty and support. Faithfulness. And I had to think about faithfulness in this light of God's faithfulness, and if there wasn't some steadiness there, I wonder who of us would put our faith in God. We heard a little bit in the opening about putting our trust in God. And this goes right alongside that. In fact, if I could say it this way, it even demands it. Because of God's faithfulness and how faithful God is, how often do we stop and consider the faithfulness of God? I think it's an exercise that enriches and blesses our soul if we will stop and consider the faithfulness of God in your own life, in your own personal life. And I'd like for you to make this personal to yourself this morning. I may not say what's on your mind, but allow God just to stimulate your mind. And that's my heart this morning, is to stimulate our minds towards the faithfulness of God and what God has done for us. Faithfulness is a little bit like an employee who is unfailingly loyal to his company Or it could be like a spouse who never cheats on the other. It can be that way as well. That's faithfulness. And faithfulness requires us to trust. In light of God being faithful, we have this verse about Jesus. And we're grateful for this verse. I'm grateful for this verse. It says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's faithfulness. That's steadfastness. That's unchanging. And if God would have just decided, today and or tomorrow that he's going to change things up for us, tomorrow there's not going to be any sunshine all day long, and it's going to be totally dark, totally black dark. And the next day, the same thing. And the next. Do you know what kind of shape we'd be in? Eventually, we'd all go blind. Because if your eye doesn't have enough light, eventually it goes blind. It needs light. And so, faithfulness. God is very faithful. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you can take those thoughts in many different places. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. So even God himself describes himself this way. He says, I'm a faithful God. God is faithful. And God is faithful, for one of the reasons he's faithful is that he cannot lie. Bible tells us that God can't lie. And thus he's very faithful. So anything he says, it is totally accurate and steadfast. And I wonder this morning if you really, really believe that. Do you really believe it? Do you really believe that of God's faithfulness, that everything he says is very faithful? Everything he does. And if we believe that, why do we believe that? And if we admit to God's faithfulness, then it also requires us to trust him, does it not? If we admit to God's faithfulness, then it also requires my trust to him. I'd like for us to think just a little bit this morning about what is the evidence of God's faithfulness in my life. And maybe you have some thoughts for me this morning. I would welcome those this morning as you think about the first point here is, what is the evidence of God's faithfulness in my life? Yes. That's right. Grace to work through the difficult things. Grace to work through the problems. That's an evidence of God's faithfulness. If we don't have that, there's many people who don't have that. Others. It's good. Answered prayers. I think that's a very sure thing of God's faithfulness again. Just health and strength in life. It is. It's very true. That's perfect. He kept every promise that he's made from the beginning of time. It's very good. We'll touch some of those things. Others. These are evidences of God's faithfulness. Yes. He's faithful because he can't deny himself. That's right. And Hebrews talks about God swore by himself because there was none greater. Amazing. God's faithfulness. I think we're all evidence of God's faithfulness sitting here. Yes.
There's never been a flood like the day before.
Perfect. There has never been a flood again like it was in the days of Noah. That's an evidence of God's faithfulness. In fact, God reminds himself, I think, on a daily basis, I will put my bow in the clouds, he says. And he puts that rainbow up there. And sometimes we see the rainbow, and sometimes we don't see the rainbow. But I think God sees it every day. It rains somewhere every day, pretty much. Every, you know. Yes.
God's word has been preserved for us today.
God's word has been preserved for us today. An evidence of God's faithfulness. That's right. And he says, Jesus said that not one jot or one tittle shall pass till all shall be fulfilled. That's again God's faithfulness. Yes. I missed it. Night and day, summer, winter, fall, yeah, spring. Those are all evidences of God's faithfulness. Just night and day. What was the first part again? The peace he gives when we put our trust in him. That's right. That's right. I think that for a believer, that's a real reality, that God is alive. Amen. Forgiveness of sin comes with that, right? When we repent, we believe God's word that we are sinners. We fall on our faces before God and we repent of our sin. And this burden that we've carried lifts. It's an evidence of God's faithfulness to his word. Amen. It's good. It's very good. I think God's creation is evidence of his faithfulness as well. You know, scientists are looking for proof. They're looking for evidence. They want something solid. They want something steadfast. And as they research and as they cross-research the things, they find actually, God is very orderly, and he set things in motion. Now, whether they want to admit that or not, some do, some don't. But the reason that they can discover different things about us humans, as well as the creation, is because of God's faithfulness, God's steadfastness. Everything has a place and an order. Doctors the same way. Doctors have figured out many things. And then we've come a long way in fixing up this human body that decays and has lots of problems. And doctors have figured out a lot of things. How is that? Why is that? Yeah, there are still things that baffle them. But many things they have figured out. And it's simply, I think it has to do with God's faithfulness again. And they keep making new discoveries. In fact, the scientists, they get all excited about this new discovery they made, you know. But it's the very substance they're working with that declares the faithfulness of God. The astronomers, they keep discovering that they haven't seen all the stars yet, that there's more galaxies out there, just like the one we're on. And they realize that there's way more out there than they know. And they keep discovering new things. And we see these exciting articles, you know, of all their discoveries that they're making. And again, it's God's faithfulness. The order in which God keeps the earth rotating upon nothing. The sun in its orbits, the moon in its orbits, the earth in its orbits, and all of the other planets that are staying in orbit, it's God's faithfulness. everything distinctly given and timed to perfection. Timed in such a way these things will travel thousands and thousands of miles in their orbit. And they stay in their orbit. In fact, it's so accurate, they can predict 10, 15, 20, 30 years down the road when the next eclipse will be. Precisely because of everything so orderly. That's God's steadfastness. That's God's faithfulness. God would decide to switch that up on them, they'd have a surprise, wouldn't they? They sure would. Psalm 36, verse 5, Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and Thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. I think that's a description of God's faithfulness even in the heavens. Today, man is trying to push God out of their thoughts and out of their lives. And the only time you hear them speaking His name is that in vain. When they speak it in vain. Not realizing the very substance that they're made of and the very substance they're dealing with on earth is because of God's faithfulness. And they don't want to acknowledge that. They don't want to retain God in their mind, in their thoughts. Another heading here, number two, how will the next generation hear and learn of the faithfulness of God? I think about this in light of what we see in our day today, the degeneration and the, years ago, there was even just 100 years or more ago, back in the 1900s and even back a little further than that, but there was way more thought given even just in secular society, more thought was given towards God and who God is. At least a recognition of God. And where are we today? Where are we today? And I think about that in light of some of those people had teaching. Some of those people knew about God. And even as you go talking to people today, even the younger generation, I think it's fading though pretty quickly, but the younger generation that you talk to just out on the street, oh yeah, my grandma, she used to talk about God. Do you see what's happening? There's a shift. How will the next generation, and I'm thinking about my children, I'm thinking about your children, how will the next generation hear and learn of the faithfulness of God? Psalm 119 verse 90 says, Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. God's faithfulness is not just to the generation of the children of Israel. God's faithfulness isn't just to the generation that was back in the 1500s when the Anabaptists gave their life as a sacrifice because they believed the salvation God had given. And they were baptized upon that, and they lost, many of them lost their head. Many of them were burned at the stake. Many of them suffered tremendous torture in prisons. God was faithful to them, wasn't He? But it wasn't just for that generation. God's faithfulness, He says here, is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. In Psalm 89, verse 1, He says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known Thy faithfulness to all generations. I think it's an important thing for us as fathers, as mothers, even you older youth, I think it's important for us to talk about the faithfulness of God together and rehearse the things that God has done. Maybe it's even some of the things that we've kind of forgotten about what God did back there. We like to sit sometimes as family and just talk about the past and so on, but sometimes we forget this important truth, to talk about the faithfulness of God in our life. How He helped us through trials. How God led us. Maybe 10 years ago, how we were seeking the Lord as to what He would have for us and as a family. And now today, here we are. We look back and we see clearly God was with us. God was leading us. It was pretty foggy back then. We were just by faith stepping forward. But today, we're blessed when we see God's faithfulness. Maybe it's talking about with your children about how you as a husband and wife got together. Maybe it was before you were converted. But you know, even then, God still had His finger there and was watching over all that. I remember my parents talking about that with us, how that they were not converted. And yet, to this day, they marvel at how God, in their unconverted state, brought their lives together and guided them and brought them to a place of clearness with Him. That was beautiful. I think it's good for our children to hear the story of how God led mom and dad together. That's God's faithfulness. I think about God's protection many times in our travels. We've traveled a lot already, and you know, we pray and ask God to go with us, and He does, and we come home and we're blessed. Maybe along the way we didn't even have any close calls, but I've had plenty of those along the way, when if it hadn't been for God right at the moment, we'd have had an accident. But God was there. It's His faithfulness. He heard our prayer and was there to protect us. I think of just a few months ago, we saw God's protection just up the road here when the truck rolled over with the load of hay on it. God's protection was there. That's a demonstration of God's faithfulness. You know, man today, mankind who doesn't want to acknowledge God would look at that situation and say, oh, he was lucky. He was lucky. That's what they would say. He was lucky. I think God's people should go much beyond that. He was far more than lucky. It was divine. It was God's faithfulness. Number three. God shows us faithfulness by bringing afflictions. Psalm 119, verse 75 says, I know, O Lord, that Thy judgments are right, and that Thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. I wonder if we know that. What if everything always went smooth for us, and we wouldn't have any trials? No hardships, no one that's hard to get along with, no COVID, no sickness. We just have it nice. How many of you want that? I'm glad I don't see any hands going up. Because we want to prove the faithfulness of God, don't we? We see the faithfulness of God. In fact, it is the faithfulness of God that leads us through affliction. And God knows that we need affliction. Sometimes we think we'd like to always have the sun shining. Just like always have the sun shining. You know, if the sun would always shine, it wouldn't be too long before all of us would be wondering where the rain is. And when are we going to get some relief from the heat? And when are we going to have some showers again? But God knows all those things. It's just that when it rains for 2 weeks, we begin to wonder where the sun is. And that's humanity, I guess. But Lord, help us. God knows exactly what we need. I wonder how it turns out with our children. I don't wonder because I've seen it. I just saw it the other night again. But how does it turn out with our children when there's no affliction? When everything is just given them just exactly what they want. I want this, and so we give it to them. I want that, and so we give it to them. I want to sit over here, so we let them. You know, and I want to do this, and I want to do that. And some of that's okay. We want to please our children, but there's definitely a line to be drawn about all their wants and what they really need. And God does the same thing for us. He knows that affliction is what we need at times. So he'll send us affliction. You find me a man or a woman who has went through many afflictions, hard things in life, who put their trust in God, and will show you a person who's a very pleasant person, a person who radiates Christ in their life. I think you know people like that. I know people like that. I think of people like that. So, you know, when we want to become more like Jesus, God in his faithfulness to that desire, he sends afflictions to shape us into his likeness. He sends affliction to shape us into his likeness. One time Jesus came across a blind man sitting there begging in John chapter 9, verse 2. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" You see, sometimes we associate affliction with sin. And sometimes it is that way. Sometimes, because of our sin, God sends affliction. God did that to the children of Israel. They were in bondage for quite a few years there because of their sin. And so that does happen. And so the disciples, they had a perception of some of that. And so they asked Jesus, So what happened, Jesus? I mean, did this man sin or his parents that he was born blind? I mean, born blind? I don't know how he could be sinning in the womb, but somehow they thought that somehow that must have been they were probably thinking it was probably Jesus would say, well, the parents sinned. But here's what Jesus said about that in John 9, verse 3. Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." The disciples knew that God sent affliction when someone walks in sin, but what they didn't realize is that sometimes the affliction comes so that God can show himself strong. And it's his faithfulness either way. When we err, when we go wrong and he sends us affliction, it's God's faithfulness. When he sends us a trial and we wonder, why is that trial there? We don't understand why that trial's there. Well, he wants to prove himself through that trial. He wants to show himself strong to us and show us his faithfulness. Sometimes we have areas of blindness in our lives that we can't see. Faults. We call them faults. Others often can see them. You know, God in his faithfulness uses people. And he uses circumstances. He uses affliction, trials, to root those areas out of our lives. And he uses those things. And sometimes we kind of get bent out of shape because so-and-so pointed that out in my life. When we should be thanking God, that God in his faithfulness is reaching down and he wants to change that in my life. Fourthly, we heard that God's faithfulness is evident through answered prayers. And that's the fourth point here. God hears and answers prayer. In Psalm 143, verse 1, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness." And I think it's probably one of the most powerful demonstration of God's faithfulness in my own life as I think about answered prayers. So many times we pray and we pray, and maybe years later we see the answer to that prayer. Sometimes we see it right away. But I'd just like to lift that up as an encouragement to all of us. Don't despair in prayer. God is hearing. Sometimes he's not answering right away. Sometimes the timing isn't right for him. But he will answer. Keep praying, especially when we know that we're praying according to his will. The Bible says he hears us. So keep praying. Keep praying for that lost soul. Keep praying for that wayward heart. Keep praying because God wants to hear that prayer and he wants to answer it. He also has to deal with our will in that surrendering that we heard this morning. Sometimes we can't find things, especially as we get older. We mislay things and we forget where we put them. And we have to depend a little more on God because our memory fails, right? And so we ask God, "Lord, where did I put this thing? I can't find this thing. I've been looking the last 5-10 minutes and I can't find this thing." And so we pray. And we turn around. How did I miss it? There it was. Is that just by chance? Or was that God's faithfulness? And he wanted us to rely on him. God hears and answers our prayers. We ask God to lead us and to give us direction. And I think Proverbs talks about that. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." Those are beautiful verses. Because so many times, how is it in life? As a young man, you know, well, what should I do? Should I buy this piece of property or shouldn't I? You know, what's the future look like for me, you know? And we have all these wrestlings. Can we commit our way to the Lord? Can we trust in the Lord? And he will direct our path. I think so. Ask God to lead you and to give you direction. You know, 5 years later, you look back and you say, "Wow. God was there. God led us here." And it's a blessing. I think about God answering prayers. Daniel, with his three friends there in Babylon, they were captives there and yet were promoted in the king's court there. And they were considered the wise men. And the king had a dream. And he wanted the interpretation because the dream troubled him the next day. And so he called all his magicians together. And they were supposed to not only tell him the interpretation of the dream, but they asked, the king said, "I forgot the dream. I don't even know what it was anymore, but I want to know the interpretation." And they were like, I mean, no king has ever asked this of his magicians before. I mean, we can tell you what the interpretation is if you tell us the dream. And the king was very angry and said, "I'm going to kill you all if you don't give me the dream and the interpretation." Seemed pretty unjust, didn't it? Very unfair. And then, so he sends to as the story goes, he sends sends out his agents there to gather all these wise men together to have them destroyed. And Daniel was like, well, what's so hasty about this? You know, why this decree? What's going on? And so Daniel finds out, and goes before the king and says, King, give us a little bit of time. The God of heaven can show what your dream was and the interpretation. And we know the story, how that it was, their lives were preserved because God did show Daniel the dream, but it was when he prayed and sought God with his three friends. God showed him both the dream and the interpretation. The king was amazed. We also have in the New Testament there where prayer was made for Peter when he was in prison. And that was a miraculous account, wasn't it? Peter in prison, locked up, chained between two guards. The next day his life was going to be taken. That was the intent. In the middle of the night, the angel of the Lord comes. Peter, get up. Get your coat on. We're leaving this place. Not only did his chains drop off, the prison gate just opened right up. And out he went into the street. He thought he was dreaming. Came to the city gate, and the gate just opened up of its own accord. And in he came. And then the angel disappeared. And Peter realized, this is real. This isn't just fake. I'm not just dreaming. This is actually for real. I'm here in the city. He thinks about it, and he goes to this place where he thinks the church is. They were gathered together praying for him. The power of God's faithfulness in answered prayer. Number 5, God is able and faithful to keep us from evil. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 and 24, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that hath called you, who also will do it. I love that example there, that prayer. Could we say, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you ever pray such a prayer? I have numerous times. God, do whatever it takes in my life so that I can be faithful to you. So that when you come again, that I'm faithful. That when I pass from this life, that I'm faithful. I think it's a right prayer. It's a prayer that God would want to answer. Without surrender, that prayer won't be answered. But that's my doings. Not God's doings, that's my doings. God wants us to surrender. And then he can do those kind of things in our lives. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1 to 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. So God is able to not only keep us to the end, but he's able to keep us from evil. And in fact, Jesus taught his disciples to pray. He said, deliver us from evil. It's in the Lord's Prayer. I believe it's a necessary prayer to pray in the day and age that we live in. Lord, deliver us from evil. Here's another one in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. A very familiar verse, but it talks about faithfulness And it talks about God keeping us from evil. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. So the question is, then why do I fail? Why do I fail then when the temptation comes? You didn't take the way of escape. God was faithful. He made a way of escape. But then when we don't take the way of escape, that's not his fault. That's my fault. Are we taking the way of escape that God in his faithfulness makes? Number six and last. Has there ever been anything that God said that wasn't reliable? No? Do you all agree with that? Has there ever been anything that God said that wasn't reliable? I think the clear answer is no. Nothing that God has ever said that has not been reliable. Isaiah 25, verse 1. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Even the Old Testament rings true to the faithfulness of God. Everything. The flood. Talks about the flood in the Old Testament. Today, they can even find evidences of the flood and what happens. Abraham left his homeland because God said, I want you to go to a place that I'll show you. And Abraham obeyed God. He left his homeland to go to this place that God was going to show him where he's going, where he wants him. Later, God gave Abraham and Sarah the promise of a son in their old age. And God was faithful there. And he did what he said he was going to do. They doubted it for a bit, tried their own way, tried their own method. Didn't work so well. Isaac, this promised son, becomes a mighty nation. And today, there's still Israel. There's still the Jewish people. It's the faithfulness of God. God was very reliable. And that traces all the way back to God's promise. There's various men in the Old Testament that had prophesied that one day there would be a Savior born. And he even said quite a few things about this Savior and where he was to be born, how things were going to go a bit. Did it happen? It happened exactly. It happened exactly like was prophesied. Not everybody understood the prophecy. Not everybody grasped a hold of it. But it happened. It was God's faithfulness. There was details given how that this Savior would be killed on a tree. How his garments were going to be parted. There was prophecy made about his resurrection. How that he would resurrect from the dead. Did it happen that way? Was that a reliable word? It sure was. It happened. And God's word is still reliable today. I think there are things still in this book, at the back end of this book, that have not yet been fulfilled. Prophecies. Is it going to happen? I believe it is. I believe it's going to happen. Maybe my understanding isn't quite on. But I believe it's going to happen. Maybe some things have been fulfilled that I didn't realize in a few generations back or something. But I know that God's word is going to be true and it's going to be fulfilled. And God will send his son, the Lord Jesus, back the second time. And when it says that heaven and earth shall pass away, I believe that's how it's going to be. And when it says that the elements are going to melt with fervent heat, I believe that's very reliable. And that's how it's going to be. And when it says that every eye shall see him, I don't know how that's all going to be, but I believe it's going to be that way. Just because I don't understand it doesn't mean that God's word isn't reliable. You follow that? Just because you and I don't understand everything about God's word and what God said doesn't mean it's not reliable. But it does demand my trust. It is going to be this way. So that's how God wants us to view everything that he has written in his book. God said it, that settles it. Whether I believe it or not, it settles it. Just a few concluding thoughts here. What is our response to be to the faithfulness of God? What is our response to be to the faithfulness of God? I think our response should be that of trust. Total reliance on God. Has God shown to you his faithfulness? If you're alive today, he has. If you see a new day, it's God's faithfulness. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. May God preserve us to be a faithful people in this, our generation. There's many generations have gone by and seen the faithfulness of God, and have they themselves have walked faithfully with God. Today, it's our turn. Will we be with the faithful? Will we rely on the faithfulness of God in our own lives? Avoiding evil, God preserving us to the very end. I would encourage all of us to pray that prayer. Lord, deliver us from evil. And then take that way of escape. I need that. We all need that. We're faced with challenges in our day that they didn't have in the 15 and 1600s, in the early 1900s. In about 1930, 1940, they didn't have these challenges. But it soon started changing after that, when wickedness was on the increase. Why? It's already been prophesied it's going to be that way. The hearts of men and women are going to be cold towards God in the latter day. Will we be of those, or will we be burning for Christ and praying, Lord, deliver us from evil? God bless all of us. Let's be a faithful people.